It's snowing outside the Fox News corner of the world. I thought Punxsutawney Phil said that we were supposed to have an early spring. Stupid groundhog. You see, that's why I don't buy into this whole Groundhog Day stuff. I mean, Punxsutawney Phil, I don't think you can trust his prognosticating. Now, we have, in New York City, we have a groundhog named Staten Island Chuck. And I think Staten Island Chuck is just as bad. But Staten Island Chuck has an attitude. And a couple of years ago, he actually bit Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He sure did. Took a big chunk right out of the mayor. You know, growing up in the South, though, we've got our own groundhog down there. A guy named General Lee. Beauregard Lee. And he lives in a little plantation house. Very politically incorrect, this groundhog. And so, anyway, the General Lee comes out of his little plantation house, and I don't know if he predicted an early spring or not. But I always go with the Southern groundhog. You know, it's interesting. They had to remind people in the South not to bring their guns, and please don't shoot the groundhog. So it's. Apparently, it's good eating. You know, you fry it up or something. I don't know. Oh, golly. You know, the groundhogs are called yellow-bellied hoary marmots. That's yellow-bellied hoary marmots. Not in the biblical sense of the term, but anyway. All right, I'm digressing here. Hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes, and you have landed in my podcast, whether by accident or by choice. And we've got a great show lined up for you. Coming up, Senator Marco Rubio is going to join us by telephone from his campaign headquarters up in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's going to weigh in on that big dust-up he had during the ABC News debate with Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Did you see it? Oh, it was terrible. It was like a bear mauling. It really was. It was very unpleasant. But anyway, we'll get the senator to weigh in on that. Before we get to the interview, though, I've got to tell you about my latest column at toddstarnes.com. Had an interesting story involving NASA, and it's as unbelievable as it is, it's the God's honest truth. It turns out that there is a praise and worship club comprised of employees, scientists, and astronauts, and engineers. And every so often, they get together on their lunch break. They're at NASA, the Johnson Space Center, and they have a worship service. They read their Bible, and they pray. Well, anyway, they put out an announcement about an upcoming event, and in this announcement, they mention the name Jesus as the part of the theme of their upcoming worship service. And that was that. So they promote a lot of things in the newsletter. They have soccer camps, and they have professional groups. They even have salsa dancing. And so then they got the Bible study group. Well, a couple of days after the announcement appeared, the head of the Bible study club, the Praise and Worship Club, gets a telephone call from the legal department there at NASA. And they said, "Hey, we got a problem here with your announcement." And they said, "Well, what's the problem?" They said, you use the name Jesus. You can't do that. You can't say Jesus in your announcement. It's against the law. It violates the Constitution." And so they told the club that they're going to have to start censoring their future newsletter items because they can't use the name Jesus. You can put anything about religion you want to in there, but you can't say Jesus. So the Bible study folks, they're a smart bunch. And they realize that, hey, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. We have constitutional rights. We have freedom of religion in America. They can't censor us. So they contact the Liberty Institute. And our friends over at Liberty Institute have taken up their cause. And they have fired off a letter to NASA. And in this letter, they're telling them, hey, look, you folks, you guys are in the wrong here. That they have every right under the Constitution to put the name Jesus in their newsletter announcement. And so they're calling for NASA, two things they want from NASA. Number one, they want an apology. And number two, they want a guarantee that they're never going to censor the name Jesus again. I mean, and the irony here is that this is an organization that has been steeped in deep religious tradition. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But anyway, just a little while ago, I got a response, finally, from the folks over at NASA. And the response is pretty lengthy. But anyway, NASA says, this is according to NASA, that they do not prohibit the use of any specific religious names in employee newsletters or other internal communications, and that they allow a host of all sorts of different organizations to meet on NASA property on the employee's own time. And then they go on to say, consistent with federal law, NASA attempts to balance employees' rights to freely exercise religious beliefs with its obligation to ensure there is no government endorsement of religion, and that, my friends, is the smoking gun. They go on to say, we believe in and encourage open and diverse dialogue among our employees and across the agency. But they did not answer the question that I asked. Did they tell this club that they could not use the name Jesus in the newsletter? They did not answer that. So I called them back and I said, I really appreciate the statement you gave me, but you didn't answer my question. And they said they would get back to me. So I'll keep you posted on that one, folks, but I think we all know the answer. And again, this is NASA we're talking about. Remember, back on Christmas Eve, 1968, I was just a little one-year-old. The crew of Apollo 8, orbiting the moon on Christmas Eve. Jim Lovell, Frank Borman, Bill Anders. And what did they do? They took turns reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the atheist, Madeline Murray O'Hare, got all bent out of shape, filed a federal lawsuit. What happened? The Supreme Court, they threw the lawsuit out. Lacked jurisdiction. Buzz Aldrin, 1969, Apollo 11, received communion on the surface of the moon. So I don't know why they're getting all bent out of shape over there at Johnson Space Center about a bunch of folks wanting to worship Jesus. The way I see it, if the NASA folks can worship the Almighty in outer space, they ought to be able to worship Him back on Earth. And that's my two cents worth. Senator Marco Rubio is kind enough to join us for a few moments from snowy New Hampshire. And Senator, I have to compliment you on something. A few days ago, I saw a photograph of you and your family and two very well-made, well-crafted snowmen. And
oh yeah, did you see that?
Coming from Miami, that was pretty good work.
Well, I can't take credit for it. Our kids did it, but I think they had some significant help. Behind the scenes, someone must have helped them put it together. But yeah, I was pretty impressed with those snowmen.
You know, you do have your family on the campaign trail, and I'm wondering how everybody's holding up, having the kids there and your wife.
Great, they're having a great time, and the people here have been great, and they've actually gotten a treat out of seeing the snow. Obviously, being from Florida, we don't see a lot of snow, so they've had fun with all that, and it's just been so thrilling to be a part of this effort.
Or moose. You got to watch out for the moose up there in the northern part of the state.
That's right.
Senator, our time is limited, so I want to get right to it. I think it's pretty evident you aren't going to be getting a Be My Valentine gift from Governor Christie anytime soon. He's still going at it. Just a little while ago, telling MSNBC that you can't put Marco Rubio on the debate stage or an amateur on the debate stage, that she would eat you alive. I want to get your response to that.
Well, I'm not sure what Chris would debate if it comes to Hillary Clinton, because they agree on a lot of things. First of all, Chris brags about his record as governor. New Jersey has the highest tax burden in the country. They're next to the bottom in job growth. Chris has had his state downgraded 9 times in the 7 years that he's been governor in terms of their credit rating. He supports gun control, Common Core, expanded Obamacare, and personally contributed to Planned Parenthood. So he spent zero time talking about his record because of that. And it's fine. If he wants to turn this into a fight among Republicans, I think it's counterproductive. Here's the bottom line. Hillary Clinton attacks me more than any other Republican in this race because she knows I'll beat her. Just today, another poll came out in New Hampshire. I'm the only Republican that beats her in New Hampshire. And if we win New Hampshire in the general election, that's a great sign for the rest of the country.
You know, I will give you this.
We're going to stay focused on our message here, which is about beating the Democrats, not beating up on Republicans.
And Senator, I will give you this. You know, if you read the mainstream media coverage the day after the debate, it was as if you had just been decimated and that you were already heading back to Florida. And yet the polls don't seem to indicate that you were hurt that much at all by the back and forth and the attacks from Governor Christie.
Well, because there's a big difference between voters who are going to decide this election and people sitting, you know, in a TV studio somewhere analyzing an election. Our target is not the people sitting in the TV studio. It's the men and women of New Hampshire who are going to get to decide this election tomorrow night. And so what I would encourage everyone to do is go on our website, marcorubio.com. You'll see my record of achievement, but more importantly, you're going to see my plan for the future, which is what this election is about.
Senator Phyllis Schlafly, probably one of the greatest conservative icons out there, wrote a pretty scathing report about you. In this report, she accused you of lying. She accused you of deception on issues involving amnesty. And I'd like to get your response to this 15-page report of hers.
Well, I don't have it other than to say, obviously, she's supporting someone else. I'm as conservative as anyone running in this race. If you look at my record, virtually every conservative group in America gives me their highest ranking, 100% from Right to Life, 100% Americans for Prosperity, 100% from the Family Research Council, an A rating from the NRA, 100% from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. The list goes on and on. And so you look at any measuring stick of a conservative and conservative votes in the Congress, I'm right up there with anybody. And so it's unfortunate when conservatives decide to attack others. I respect Phyllis very much. Obviously, it's disappointed she would write that, but it's not. At the end of the day, I'm proud of my record, and we're going to continue to work hard because we're going to be the nominee, and we're going to defeat the Democrats.
Do you think she ought to apologize? I mean, this was, four times.
No, I haven't read it. I haven't seen it. She's entitled to her opinion, and it's fine. Look, this election, these things happen in elections. It's not a big deal. We're going to focus on what this election needs to be about, which is defeating Democrats, keeping someone like Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton out of the White House. We cannot allow that to happen.
Senator, the National Review came out with a column today, and they basically called you, the writer called you the Angela Merkel Republican, genuinely conservative on most every issue except the one that counts above all others. And in their estimation, that issue is immigration. And looking back at that whole Gang of Eight mess, do you just wish, if you could go back, jump into the DeLorean, go back in time, what would you change about your involvement in all of that?
Well, look, first of all, I try to solve problems. We had an opportunity to try to solve a problem in 2013. At the time, the Democrats still controlled the Senate. I did the best we could, given that reality, in the hopes that the conservative House would take up that law and make it even better and get us to something that everyone could support. It didn't work out. They didn't take it up for a lot of reasons, but the main one is the American people don't trust the federal government. So I would just say the lesson learned from that is that nothing is going to happen on immigration until we first secure our border. And until our border is secure, nothing else is going to happen on immigration, period. That's how I'm going to approach it as president. When I'm president, we are going to secure our border, and only after the border is secure will we be able to do anything else. And it won't be amnesty, and sanctuary cities will lose their federal funding, and criminal aliens are going to be immediately deported. So, that's the biggest lesson of 2013 is you can't do anything on immigration until you first secure the border and prove to people that the border is secure.
Senator Rubio, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
We get quite a bit of email here at the Fox News Corner of the World, and I promised you during my last podcast that I would start reading some of these questions on the air, and I would answer some of the questions. And we got a lot, especially after a controversial podcast or a column. So we are going to start that tradition right now. And the question I'm going to answer comes from Nick Stearns of Hickory, North Carolina. And here's what Nick wrote to us. Todd, do you think the GOP establishment has realized the conservative movement of the party has moved the likely nominee to the right, maybe even far right of Romney and McCain? Or do you think they are going to continue on their mission to nominate Jeb, Christie, Kasich, or even the Democrat Trump? And why do you think they are so quick to reject a Reagan Republican such as Cruz? Nick, that's a pretty loaded question there, my friend, and I will do my best to try and answer this. I don't believe they have a clue, to be perfectly honest with you. I believe the Republican Party, the establishment, are so far removed from reality. They are so far removed from the day-to-day affairs, the things that you and I have to worry about, paying the bills, paying the rent, keeping the lights on, paying back the car loans. They don't get that. And I think that's pretty evident by what happened with the party nominating McCain, John McCain, and then back in 2012 with the failed candidacy of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. So I really do think that they are on a mission to try and nominate a more establishment-oriented candidate, whether it be a Jeb Bush or a Chris Christie or John Kasich or even, as you mentioned, Donald Trump, who is a newly converted conservative. And I would love, we have actually invited Donald Trump to come onto the podcast to explain his conversion to the conservative way of life. But so far, he has not accepted our gracious invitation. We will keep you posted on that. As for why they're so quick to reject a Reagan Republican, Nick, I believe that the reason they are so frightened of Ted Cruz is because they believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. In other words, they know they cannot control someone like Ted Cruz. So let's take a look down the road past South Carolina. And let's say that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are the two guys. Do not be surprised if you see the establishment begin to coalesce around Donald Trump, because they know they are going to be able to work out a deal with Donald Trump. But they're not going to be able to do that with a principled conservative, someone like Ted Cruz. And Nick, I believe that's why they are rejecting the candidacy of Ted Cruz and are really trying to destroy the man. Nick, thanks for your question. And if you want to send a question, all you have to do is go to the website, toddstearns.com. You can click on one of our social networking platforms and leave your question there, and we will put it into the pile, and we will do our very best to try to answer it or find someone who does know the answer to your question. By the way, over the weekend, I had a chance to go to Portland, Oregon, and to fellowship with some fantastic conservatives, some amazing patriots, part of the Oregon Liberty Alliance. And those guys just showed me and the team a fantastic time. And I want you to know something. You know, as Looney Tune left as Portlandia is, there is a remnant of conservatives, and they are fired up, and they are ready to go to battle, and they're ready to stand for issues like religious liberty, and they really need our support because, trust me, in Portland, Oregon, there's not a church on every street corner, folks. No, sir, not at all. But I do have to tell you this, though. I was rather surprised by this. One of the ladies I believe it was Oregon Right to Life, found out that I loved biscuits. I'm a good Southern guy. I love sweet tea and biscuits. And so what do you imagine my surprise when late in the afternoon she shows up with a homemade biscuit from this really popular biscuit restaurant there in Portland, Oregon. They know how to make biscuits out there in Portland. So it's not all hopeless. Well, more or less. Anyway, it was a great weekend and had a chance to meet some wonderful folks and do some great fellowshipping. Also got to meet a lot of our listeners at Freedom 970, KUFO. Those folks have been carrying our commentary for quite some time now, and it really is an honor that you guys out there are broadcasting at least 1 minute of conservative conversation a day. I really appreciate that. All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up here. And I, again, thank you so much. All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And don't forget, if you go to iTunes, we need your help to grow this podcast audience. And the way you could do that is to leave a review, and you can also leave a ranking. And I think you could go all the way up to 5 stars. If you want to add 6 and can figure out a way to do that, we'd be much obliged. All right, folks, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next time.